I'm telling you, do you believe Jesus is alive?
Amen.
You know, it's just thinking something, and then a brother Kerry did it. I was thinking, when we worship, we ought to stand more. You know, when we're singing. Because if you need to get your hands up and praise the Lord, you can't really do it sitting down. And I was just thinking that, and then Gary said, let's stand, we'll sing this song. Praise God. And it's good to get your hands up.
Amen.
And it's good to praise God. And I'll tell you, if you're at one of the world's banquets, they're not afraid to shout at a football match or at any other match and praise God. And I told you the story about the fella I knew well, and he goes to a certain denominational group, and they're not really known for raising their hands much, but he got into it when they sang about the Green Army, and he was swinging back and forth with the whole crowd. And I walked down and tapped him on the shoulder. Said hello to him. And I think he thought he saw a ghost. But why be different? Why be ashamed of the Lord? Why be ashamed of Jesus? Amen. He paid the ultimate price for us at the cross. He gave us all. Everything. Poured out his life unto death, the word of God says. Shed great drops of blood, even in Gethsemane, and sweated and prayed through great drops of blood. Praise God. Shake hands, rivers beside you, and say, the Lord bless you. Praise God. And just a few prayer requests this morning. You may be seated once you do that. Just want to read a few prayer requests. And maybe some people wasn't here last week. When I shared about the trip, but I'm sure Brother Matthew has it recorded or on the website or somewhere there if you want to listen to it. But I was away preaching last night in a house service for Brother Jackie McNeely, and I really had on my heart all week what I was going to preach, and I shared it last night. And you know, the fella there sharing his testimony, and that fella was a vet, and you know what his name was? Can anybody guess? Have a guess. David McKinstry. And I thought, David McKinstry's giving his testimony and Tommy McKinstry's preaching. And his grandfather was Robert McKinstry. And if I'm getting it right, his father was Tommy McKinstry. Now he says to me, we mightn't be related. I says, no, but we might be. And he says, there's not many Kinstries about. He says, aye, you must be joking. I says, if you think there's not many McKinstries, you are joking. I said they had a reunion, get together in Bond Bridge, and they didn't even all turn up with those hundreds. I said, there's a lot of McKinstries. So I said, do you know you're from Scotland? Scottish descent and Viking descent. And I said, did you know what McKinstry means? Traveller. Always on the go. I guess that's about right. But, you know, he gave his testimony, and he had a good testimony, and I'll tell you, when he was 12 years of age, he was brought up in a Christian home. When he was 12 years of age, he's 38. How many here is close to that?
Me.
He is, if you tick 10 years off. He forgets I know his age. You know, but how many remembers at school where they made elastic band and they had paper and they threw it at everybody? Well, they did that with him when he was 12, and he said it hit his eye and he knew something was bad. And he came home and he couldn't see the calendar on the wall. And he couldn't read the words on it. His mother said to him, read the numbers in the calendar. And he said he could hardly even see the calendar. He was almost blind. And there's a man in his country, and he prayed for the sick. Now, he said he thinks he was a Baptist, but I doubt that. I'm not funny about that, but I doubt that. I don't know many Baptist preachers that go and pray for the sick. maybe in America, but not here in Ireland. They, some of them preach against it. They're not for it. Now, if he was, the Lord bless him, anyhow, it's not important, but he came down and prayed for him, and God healed him.
Amen.
God completely healed him. But the Lord showed me things about him while he gave his testimony. I'm going to tell you that. And I didn't say this to nobody. But when I preached at the end of the service, I prayed for individual people, a mass prayer. You know how I do sometimes. I don't always like calling people forward. You know why? If you call people forward and you have a guest preacher and God heals somebody, they'll think it's the preacher. And they'll say, oh, God's using that man. And then you can glorify a man. God wants the glory.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. You can call people forward. We know that. But I'm just telling you how the Lord's led me sometimes to do it. But I prayed specifically at the end that the memory would be restored to the individuals in that room. He came to me afterwards. They were having tea afterwards. He came to me afterwards and he said, brother, can I ask you a question? He got me by myself. He said, why did you pray that at the end? I said, because I felt led to it. And he said, you know, that was for me. He says, I've been having problems. And my wife's even told me, with my memory and things, he's only 38 and he's a vet. And I said, well, you believe something's happened, brother. And also, there's another man in the meeting, unknown to me, and he has that, is it Alzheimer's? Where people, you know, that can go out walking and different things, they don't know where they are. He was in the meeting as well. His wife had brought him along as well. So the Lord touched people.
Amen.
God moved in people. See, God knows the secrets of the heart.
Amen. Right.
Now, it's not that you're a smart preacher and you know everything, you don't. You could preach something just what you feel led to preach, and it's God does the other bit.
Right.
He knows it.
Amen.
You don't always know it. But if you feel led to do it, God can do it. And God can know it. And Jackie as well, he got a real bad infection in his eye. And it's even the fact that his lip was real, like his mouth was a bit funny. And he said that that word was really for him. I preached about the storms. For God never sent the storms, but he permitted them. But he removed them. He removed the storms. Jesus removed the storms. And I know that he never sent them because he couldn't go against his Father's will. He removed them. Now there is storms of our own making. You remember Brother Andrew preached about three storms, and that's true. There's storms we can make. But there's storms that we don't make that come. And God's given us the right to move them, if you believe it. And the Lord really touched people. And I just thank God for his mercy. And a lot of things were said to me afterwards, different people, different things. But I just thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. And you know what's saying there, Brother Jeff, when you come in? You can have an opinion that God's finished with different ones. And I've even a quote here this morning, which I might read later on, I might not, where Brother Branham says, every time God sends a man and there's a move of God, they'll organize. And God moves on. But you can have an opinion that God's finished with these ones and God's finished with these ones. But yet with all, a preacher could go through there and people could get saved.
Yes, amen.
What do you do with that then? Now whether it's the Baptist or whether it's the message groups, I don't care which ones it is. God is people everywhere.
Right.
And you need to be careful that you don't preach against God's own people.
Right.
And condemn something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord can go right through it and move. William Branham himself did not want to go to the oneness only. And his mother-in-law, she said bad things about them. And when the boat almost went over the waterfall with him in it, and the engine wouldn't start, he said to God, if you'll spare my life, I'll go.
Yeah,
no matter about my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's your wife or whether it's your mother-in-law, that speaks against the things of God, you better be careful. That you do what God tells you.
Amen.
No matter even if it's a close relation. That wants to tell you something contrary. You could have a mother that takes you away. Or a father from the things of God. And you need to be careful. And William Branham's mother-in-law did exactly that. And God had him in the boat ready to go over the falls. How many knows the story that tells the truth? And he said, Lord, if you'll spare me, I'll go. And the engine started. And you know, when he went amongst them people, he said it was glorious. Now, he oneness of doctrines we wouldn't agree with. But yet they were God's people.
Yes.
The Trinity of doctrines we wouldn't agree with, but there's people of God. How many believe what I'm saying?
Amen. Yes.
There's people that maybe don't see the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but yet it's true, but they could still be saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there's people following the message of the hour, and they're message believers, and they're saved. You can't take your boot and kick them out either. So you need to watch. And I believe there is a true message that God sent.
Amen.
Now there's lots of rubbish about it, but there's lots of rubbish about everywhere. And I won't be put off by the rubbish in spite of the genuine, because of the farmer looked at the weeds and thought, look at the weeds that's growing in my field, I better watch not sow anymore, then there'll be no barley or wheat.
Amen.
And you cannot go out and say, well, I'll sort it out. And I'll preach a sermon and I'll do this and I'll... And you can't do that. Jesus talked about that.
Amen.
Says, leave them till the time of the harvest and the angels will gather them up. Now I know a lot of people say, well, the angels are coming now and it's happening. Well, if they believe that, that's fine, but I'm still waiting on the coming of the Lord. How many is?
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
But praise God. I just thank everyone for your prayers and support. And you know, I'm going to tell you one thing. There might be many of us here, but I want you to think of this for a moment. Let's say we didn't gather here. Just let's say we didn't gather here. Let's say we didn't have a fellowship here. I mightn't be able to go out like I can go out, or Brother John or any of these other brothers that go out. This is a base for we can have fellowship and go out. Now do you think the devil doesn't want to tear that down? He does. He doesn't want that. So you need to be careful about everything you do that it is of God.
Amen.
Because the enemy can get in. And my father said something to me years ago, and I've sought. I've sought in so many ways. If he can't get you in one road, he bring you in, he run you out the other side. He's getting you over to it. And that's how the enemy works. Praise God. So the Lord bless each one. We appreciate all the prayers. Now, some of the prayer requests here this morning, Brother Andrew Beecham sent me a message this morning. John Noble's very ill. And they don't think he's going to do long. Now, you know John Noble's in his 80s now. And John hasn't been too well for a while. And so he's asking for prayer for John Noble. And then a Brother Edris here. Brother Edris, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying, all right, Brother. Brother Edris, they found his great uncle, and he's 90, coming 98, they found him passed away, but he was a believer.
Amen.
98, but about 5 years ago he fell and broke his hip, isn't that right, Brother? Fell and broke his hip. The church here prayed for him, and in a few weeks he was out cutting the hedges.
Amen.
And he lived for another 5 years.
Amen.
98 years. And I'm saying this morning, God has promoted him. He's home to glory.
Amen.
I'll tell you someone there as far as you put them. Do you know that? People that's gone on that are believers are as far away as you put them. How many believes that? Well, some of you don't believe it then. You think they flew through the heavens and went away. Brother Branham said it's a realm. What's just beside you. It's a realm. And he says, don't you contact them. That's a spirit of necromancy. But they're close to you. And he says, you know, it's even like the Lord. If you talk about him, he's come on the scene. And he even said they can hear us over in that realm. Now, whether you believe that or not, it makes no difference to me whether you do or not. I believe it. And I thank God it's real. And I'll tell you, there could be angels in this room now and you don't see them. But they're here. And it's just like William Branham said about the pillar of fire. He said, God permits some people to see it. And others won't see it. But it's near. Praise God. So we want to pray for the family, the Mahood family this time. And also, my wee Naomi works with a wee woman, Avril, and the hospital basically, now I'm not being critical, but I'm just telling you the truth. They plucked her up a few times, and the woman has got cancer in her gallbladder. And see, why I'm saying that is there's no diagnosing the case, because why that is, we don't have enough hospital and staff. How many knows that's true? And they're underpaid as well. You say, well, getting well paid, they need to double it. They're not getting near enough. We're not paid well in this country. I'll tell you that here now. This country is well below the rate what the pay should be to everywhere else. We're meant to be part of Britain, but we do not get the same wages as Britain. We're paid well below what they're paid in Britain. And you can check it yourself. You know I'm telling you the truth. There's some fellow over in England, he said the other day, an apprentice should be in £10 an hour at least. One fellow said, I don't think so. I said, why not? When the apprentice goes in the shop and buys a loaf of bread, he's charged the same price for it as the fellow that's out of his town. He doesn't say to him, well, your apprentice will give you it for half price. £10 an hour should be the starting rate. Then anywhere up to about 20 or 30 after that would do. We're paid well below. I'm serious. How many in this room, both parents work? Put your hands up. Just a couple of these, I thought there's more. Both parents work? Now, you brothers that's older than me, you know 40 years ago that was not the case. But the God of this evil age has worked it in such a way that both parents have to work. That's who's behind this all. And both parents have to work now. And if you don't, you know yourselves. On one wage. How many knows you could hardly do it? You could hardly do it. The time you pay, the different things, you could hardly do it. That's the devil. That's the God of this evil age. And you know William Branham and the preachers years ago used to preach the woman shouldn't work. But you couldn't really do that now. Because how would people get by? Not serious what I'm saying. If I said to you couples were both work, well, I'll tell you, one of you quit working, it wouldn't work. Isn't that the truth? There's too much to pay because of the age we're in. And the pay, people's underpaid in this country. Well underpaid. It's a disgrace. And they say we're part of England and all the rest of it. How come England's getting better wages than here?
That's right.
Oh, but they're not. White people's going to England to work and they're coming home with more money than they're getting here.
That's right.
They can even afford to go over there in a ferry and come back and they're still better off.
That's right.
The wages here is a joke. But there's someone else behind it. There's someone ruling. And you know the EU is definitely the Antichrist system.
Yeah.
Satan's seat. It's definitely the truth. But let's stand while we pray and just pray for these requests. And I'm taking too much time up just talking, but how many knows it's the truth? And I just pray for the used couples that all have to work and everything. I just pray the Lord will bless you and strengthen you. It's tough, and I know it's tough. But if you honor God with your substance, the Lord will honor you. I can guarantee you that. That's the word of God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you this morning. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have access into your very throne room. And into your very presence. Because of the new and living way. Through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we come this morning pleading the merits of the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the Mahout family and even others that's related. Lord, for Brother Idris and all the relations for this man, and what a tremendous testimony. That Lord, at 93, you touched him and he done 5 more years. And was fit to cut the hedges and all these wonderful things. Because the strength of God that came upon him.
Amen.
Lord, I pray also for this wee woman that found this cancer. I rebuke it and curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know you are a healer. You're a Savior, a healer, and a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And you are a coming King. We believe in the full gospel. And that you have the power to back it up.
Amen.
Because your word is the truth.
Right.
Lord, touch this dear woman, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for Brother John Noble, give him strength and grace. At this time we pray and touch him. And help the people there and bless them and strengthen them. In Jesus' precious name. My Lord, this morning bless your word. Grant wisdom to speak it and preach it. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you to undertake for me. Lord, I pray for the sisters here especially that has to work, Lord, to meet the different needs. Lord, I ask you'll grant them your grace. And you'll prosper them and bless them and strengthen them. And especially for the sisters as nurses. What a tough job it is, Lord. We just pray you'll bless them and be with them in a special way. And for all the mothers here, all the daughters, and husbands and wives, and each and every boy and girl, bless everyone and touch everyone in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We're going to read the Word of God, but you may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Let us turn to Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, and I won't try and be too long this morning. And I just maybe want to preach a wee bit about the kingdom authority. But just first of all, to get this bit. Verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now here's quite a scripture. These people are professing to cast out devils. They prophesied, they've did wonderful works, yet the Lord says, I never knew you. Isn't that something? They prophesied, they did wonderful works, and the Lord never knew them. And he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now you know that only the will of God will be done in the kingdom of God, and you remember the Lord's prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you have to keep the word in heaven. And it's all about the word of God. And it's all about obeying the word of God. And God wants us to obey his word. Sometimes people say, one fellow said to me, why do I have to get baptized? And I'm not talking about this. Two young brothers wanting baptized. This is not referring to you, young man. But another fellow, he's not here this morning, but he wanted to know why he would get baptized. The feet and the cross never got baptized. I says to your brother, the feet and the cross never got the chance to get baptized.
Right.
And did you know the feet and the cross were the last one that entered Abraham's bosom? Do you ever think of that? Now people talk about a dispensational change. Have any heard that big word? Well, there definitely was one that time, wasn't there? There was definitely a dispensational change, or whatever you want to call it. But I'll tell you, Jesus, when the veil was rent and he rose from the dead, them saints that was in Abraham's bosom, which was a specially prepared place for the Old Testament saints that were believers, rose with him. For the Bible says they saw them. The graves opened. When Jesus rose, the graves opened. And they walked about and they saw them in the streets and in the cities, because the graves opened. And the thief on the cross, that there was two thieves, but the one thief on the cross that could see him, he was there. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. But I believe that God wants us to do on earth as it is in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There's no unsaved in heaven. And you can read a whole list in Revelation that no whoremonger, no fornicator, no effeminate, none of them will be in heaven. That's the word of God says. Then you can go back over to the epistles and read what Paul says. And Paul says, some of us were fornicators. Some of us were adulterers. But now we're in Christ Jesus. And we're going to go to heaven. Because we've been born again of the Spirit of Almighty God. And it doesn't matter what works a person can work or what religion a person can have. If they're not born again of the Spirit of God, they'll never go to heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you say, well, these fellas not born again, they couldn't have been. You say, I believe the word. Well, it wouldn't be scripture. I don't care what works they work. People go to Lourdes and they come home healed. But are they born again? People do many things and they claim many wonderful things. But are they born again? Except the man is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. And I tell you the most important thing, I want to go on record saying this morning. And don't you ever think I believe anything different from this. The most important thing is that a man and a woman is born again. That's the most important thing. That's more important than anything else. The most important thing is that a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Now whether they will come the way I'm going or the way you're going, that will be God's business. But we too trust they'll go God's way. There's a lot of people today and they make a lot of proselytes. They want to get conversion and then they want them for themselves and they make proselytes. God does not want proselytes. God wants disciples. Amen. Sons and daughters of God. Now the works are wonderful, but they are workers of iniquity. The word of God says it here. If we go over to Luke 6 and 46. Luke 6 and 46. We're going to just have a little bit of a look at that iniquity. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me see if I'm reading the right one. And why call ye me Lord, and do not the things which I say? Keeping God's word. They call him Lord, but they don't do the things he says. You know, over the world, and I have a wee thing written out in my Bible and different notes I carry. I read it. What is a real Christian? You've heard me reading it here before. It's a great preacher that wrote it. And a lot of people, you know, Catholics say we're Christians. People that's of a religious perspective say we're Christians. But a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. And if he's a follower of Jesus Christ, he's a servant of the Lamb. Jesus is a Savior. He's had an experience. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has a Savior, and he wants to do what the Lord says. And we must try and do what the Lord wants us to do. So when God speaks to us, whether as individuals or whether God sends a word and speaks to us as a group, we need to be listening to the Spirit of God. Revelation says the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days that many shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. From such turn away.
Amen.
There is things we shouldn't fellowship with. Doctrines of devils. You know, we've so much today of this, I might say it right, vegan. Is it vegan? You know, where you can't eat meat. And the Catholic Church don't let the priests marry, and you know what's going on there. Some of the most abominable sins that there's ever been. And I'm not even going to go into it, because the Word of God says it's a shame to speak of those things, what they do in secret. Don't give the devil no glory. He doesn't need any. But I tell you, there's things going on today, and they call it Christianity, when it's nothing to do with Christianity. Look at me over the book of Numbers. Numbers 24 and 4. And you know that's about Balaam. If you go back to verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not. Verse 1 of 24, of number 24. At other times to seek the enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. So this fellow here is working with two things. How many knows here what I'm talking about? Balaam went and saw enchantments, but also the word of the Lord came to him. He's a prophet, but he's a rascal at the same time. You get that now?
Yes.
Just like these group that Jesus talks about. And he saw that the word of the Lord came to them because he was hired to curse Israel. But when he went to curse Israel, God would not permit it. He blessed them. Ain't that good? Some fella comes, you know, to try and do something against you. And it only does you good at the end of it.
Amen.
It's not exactly what God did with his people. And the Bible calls this boy a prophet. But yet with all, he worked with other stuff. And you know, in Africa, there's people that work with witchcraft, and they're amongst churches. I've seen it. Mixed trade. Workers of iniquity. Other places as well, not just Africa. Look at verse 2. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their times, and the Spirit of God came upon him. That's the same fellow that sought other stuff. And yet the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, because the Spirit of God came upon Balaam, it does not make him the same as Moses or Isaiah. Because this is a mixed tree here. You say, I don't know how the Spirit of God can come in somebody like that. Well, the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the weeds threw their arms up and rejoiced at the sun, and the wheat threw them up as well. The same rain and sun come on them both. You cannot take that and throw it away. This is the Word of God. And he took up his firebrand, and he said, Balaam the son of Beor, Beor-Borah said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, and he said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. This man seeing open vision.
Amen. Right.
But he's fiddling about with other stuff as well. And here Jesus warns him of these. Matthew chapter 7 group. Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. We've done wonderful works in your name. What about a famous man that said, Jesus will come on the platform. And then he made a whole big show and he claimed that Jesus came on the platform. And he told the people, you can go past there and pick them out. And a whole big show it was. I tell you, it wasn't good. And you needed no discernment to know all that stuff was wrong. But thousands are following it. Now, because the thousands follow it, is it a move of God? You see, because there's a crowd, or because God seems to add to people, that does not necessarily mean it's God. You want a crowd, you get one football match. Nobody knows what I'm saying. Amen. Do you realize we're living in the last days? And the word of God says, fear not, massive flock. You do not read that. You read little flock.
Amen.
We're living at the time where the word of God says, many shall depart from the field.
Thanks.
Many. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Do you know that word? That means that something mixed with the wheat, that it's no more pure wheat, it's no more the pure word of God, it's hybrid. And it can never reproduce because it's not the original. But if you preach the original gospel, it will reproduce the original.
Amen.
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 God does not need some sort of a prop up to give him a hand. He's big enough by himself, I can guarantee you that.
Amen.
Now these group here, look, let's go for a moment to Timothy. So we see this, workers of iniquity. You say workers of iniquity, yes. Let's go to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and 19. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is not obeying the word of God. You know that. Knowing to do it, but don't do it. How many knows that's what iniquity is? That you know to do it, and you don't do it. So the preacher preaches, the word of God clearly teaches that we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Joe Blog says, it'll not really make a difference. Where's he coming from?
Right.
He's left the word.
Right.
If the word of God says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord.
Yeah.
And even if a man rises out of the great end time group and preaches two lords, where's he coming from?
Right.
Not the word of God. Amen? But yet with all, claim to have the truth, and yet error.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. Most of you people know this. And I hope you don't mind me telling it. And I'm not here to condemn nobody. I believe the end time message God sent. I believe it with all my heart. I don't believe 90% of the rubbish that's about, but I believe the actual thing that God did. With all my heart. I believe William Branham is absolutely a prophet sent from God. And I know that some people think we should never ever once name the name of William Branham. I know that. But They don't mind mentioning Spurgeon or Pink or Mooney or older men. That's all right. But if you mention William Branham at all, it's almost an unpardonable sin. I know that. But I'm going to tell you this. You know the cloud that came. How many ever saw the picture of the cloud? You know the cloud that came? The cloud that came, which was the angels. William Branham said those angels made that cloud. And you know the picture of the Hoffman's head of Christ. That is just a picture. That was not literally Jesus. How many knows that?
Yes.
It's a likeness, he said. Tell him. But he's not saying this is literally Jesus. It's a photograph that a man painted that looks like the Lord in William Branham's opinion.
Yes.
You understand me now?
Yes.
Now whether you have a photo up or not, that's not important to me. But I'm just telling you, it looks like the Lord. There's nothing wrong with the picture. But some people took that picture and they placed it inside the cloud. And Perry Green went to Congo, Africa, where there's 20,000 in one church. And he stood up and he tried to explain to them that picture was not in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody put it in there and they booed him off the stage. Because they believed that was literally the face of Jesus in the cloud, and that was the second coming of Jesus Christ in 1963. They believed that and you can't change them. But they're in error. They are an error. That is false teaching. That was the appearing of the angels, the cloud was.
Yes.
But the picture is separate, the whole separate thing. It's just an opinion that it looks like the Lord.
Yes.
Nobody's saying this picture is literally Jesus. The cloud, when you turn it on the side, looks like the face of the Lord with a white wig. We know that. But that picture wasn't in it. But yet with people that claim to follow the truth, boo a man of God off the platform because he told them the truth. So I'm telling you, it has to be according to the Word of God. Whether it's a picture of a clown or a picture of this or that, or whether any of those things, William Branham himself said it must be in the Word of God. And it's on every side. Now we are waiting on the coming of the Lord. Jesus Christ has not come yet. He has appeared in different forms. He has appeared, and if you want to call it different manifestations, he's done it down through the ages. Nobody could deny that.
Yeah, yes.
Or you would be denying this Bible. He's came with the angel of the covenant. William Branham himself said, he's here tonight as the angel of the covenant. But he said, we are waiting on the coming of the Lord. And we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
And there's only one thing that will make us ready for the coming of the Lord. That's to obey the Word of God.
Amen.
To follow the Word of God. For the Word of God says, he followed the Lord. He walked with God. And he was not, for the Lord took him. But all these things is out there, and people have went on extremes, and they know these things, so they say it's all wrong because this is wrong, and off they go. But what do they go tell? They go down somewhere for a man does not even believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He doesn't believe in the truth of baptism. If you spoke in tongues, you're through out. Do you realize a lot of big churches in this town have a rule in their own creed that if somebody speaks in tongues, you're out the door. Some of them have even wrote lies in books about Pentecost. They've wrote lies. That's the truth. So God will not take you out of something to put you in the pot called kettle black. God wants you to stay with the Word of God. What's truth?
Amen.
God's word's the truth.
Amen.
And I can assure you in this meeting this morning there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost after you're saved.
Amen.
Salvation's just the beginning.
Right.
There is a genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you're going to go on the rapture. People that's not seen with the Holy Ghost, that's not baptized, will not go into catching up. They can't. They can't go. Brother, even if they're saved, yes. You say, where's it in the Bible? The words of Jesus Christ himself. Do you believe that this morning? Maybe some of you don't believe that no more. You believe everybody's going to go. Well, what about the fella he preaches? We'll go straight up and come straight down. Straight up and straight down. That's what he preaches. I can tell you I'm not going straight up to come straight down. I'm going up with the Lord and I'm going home for the honeymoon period. And I'm going to live and reign with Jesus Christ. And after 3.5 years, I'm coming back with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'll stand in the Mount of Olives and shall split in two. And we're going to live and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. That's God's word. Jesus said, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. And 5 had no oil. They had oil at one time. At one time. There was organizations had oil at one time, but they organized. Are you following me? They organized. Have we not seen it today? Round the message movement, has there not been an organization organized? How many believe what I'm preaching here? It's the truth.
Amen.
They've organized. But the denominations have as well. They're all denominations. There's no different. Not one of them different. You can't go out and, well, this one here, they're, you know, they're all the same. They've all organized. But God will have a people. God will have a people.
Amen.
And you remember that God is against the organization, but he's not against the people.
That's right.
God could save somebody out of the Catholic Church. Do you know that?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Somebody could get saved sitting in a chapel. And they have done. And God could bring them out. Where did Luther come from? That's what our God's able to do. So don't think, don't have an attitude, this is all organized. Throw it over the heads, it's finished, it's done with. God will never do a thing. God's still people there. God's people everywhere. And the Lord is coming for a people that's made themselves ready. And you cannot be ready if you don't believe the Word of God in its entirety. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants His people to be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I went the other night, I showed you the other night. Where people say, well, you know, I didn't get the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's not God's will to give me. That's the devil told you that. God wants you to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The book of Acts says in chapter 2, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
Then when you go back into the Gospels, Jesus says, if you and me, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him?
Amen.
You realize the Holy Spirit's been substituted today? How many remembers the message Brother Brian Freeborn preached about the false light? All about the Holy Ghost, wasn't it? The train robbery, the biggest train robbery ever in Britain. The fellas rigged the light, and the light come on, a red light lit, and the train stopped, and the robber, it was a false light. And there's been preaching for years, people have been saying, you don't receive the Holy Spirit the way you used to. But we'll show you a new way. That's a false light.
Right.
You receive the Holy Ghost the way you always received it.
Amen.
Now we know that tongues is not the evidence. We know that. The Pentecostal organization made it a doctrine that tongues, speaking in tongues, is initial evidence you have the baptism. But what if a man never spoke in tongues and prophesied? Has he not got the Holy Ghost? You can't do that. Now I believe in tongues and I speak in tongues. And I'm all for tongues. We don't have enough tongues in my opinion. But it's not initial evidence. But there is a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. But on the other hand, you cannot deny that they did a lot of times when they got it, spoke in tongues. And I believe in tongues. Somebody believes in tongues. But you see this verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. God wants us to follow the Word of God. I know people and they broke away and they said, we don't believe these things no more. They broke away. And the next thing they say, they're liberated and they're free. And the sisters chop their hair off and put a pair of trousers on. Now, free from what? The Word of God does not put you in bondage. Now, listen to me. They might have been in something that had them in bondage. But the Word of God does not put you in bondage.
Amen.
And the Word of God says that a woman is not to wear any apparel that pertains to a man. Now I know a great preacher and he joked about it because he hadn't got the guts to preach it. And that's the truth of it. And he joked slack not. And gave them all a big kiss and a hug and out the door because he didn't want to lose them. He's afraid to tell him the truth.
That's
the truth. And the Bible says that a woman's not to cut her hair off. She said, let her hair grow because her hairs are covering and her hairs are glory. That's the Bible. And they won't preach that today. Because if they preach that, they'd rent some of the chairs out. They wouldn't need to build a bigger church, I can assure you. And I know a man. And he talked to the great preacher in this country. And that preacher said, when I get this new church, I will preach to the bride these things I know to the truth. But he never done it. He never done it. But he'd emptied his church, he wouldn't have filled it. People do not want the truth. And the Word of God calls it iniquity. How many can say I'm preaching here which is right?
Amen.
Do you believe it or not? Yes, brother, I know God will save a girl should you have a skinhead. I know that. I know He'll save a prostitute on the streets. I know that. I believe that. But I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that serve in the Lord. I'm talking about people that say they're ready for the coming of Jesus Christ and they hear the Word of God and they don't want to do nothing about it. That's what I'm talking about. We must obey God's word.
Amen.
But we are just to preach the gospel. What do you think the gospel is? I want to ask you, what do you think the gospel is? Jesus saves, that's part of it. That's part of it. Do you believe the disciples preach the gospel? How many believe the disciples preach the gospel?
Amen.
Well, they preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They preach baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The man wrote about the women, the hair, the head, and all these different things. He wrote about all this. It's all part of the gospel. He preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, we didn't come to you in a word only, but in the power and demonstration of the gospel. You say they preach the gospel. Do they demonstrate it? Do they demonstrate it? I know people that if you go amongst them and pray in a prayer meeting for God to heal somebody, they'll take you aside because I've been there and I know what I'm talking about. And they'll say, how do you know it's God's will? We don't pray like that here. We pray, if it's your will, Lord, you can do it. Like the fella told the boy, he said, you go to the doctor when you're not well. He said, yes. He said, why do you go? Why do you go to the doctor if you're not well? Might be God's will for you to go. Maybe you should die. Do you see how ridiculous that would be? It is God's will. Because you read the will. How many, it's God's will to save you.
Amen.
Would you pray, Lord, if it's your will, When our brothers had a list that he's praying for. I believe, he believes, I'm sure everyone will agree. We're all agreeing God will save every one of them people. We're not going to pray, Lord, do you think is it your will to save we David?
Right.
Or some other name. You wouldn't pray like that. Because the word of God says that it's not God's will that any should perish.
Amen.
But that all should be saved.
Amen.
That's God's word.
That's
God's will. But people don't believe that. They preach part of the gospel. And then we have other groups, which is ashamed to say it, and they say they're following the message of the hour. And they preach no gospel. None at all. How many knows I'm preaching the truth here? I go amongst them, I know what I'm talking about. And there's other brothers do. And when I preach for them, they take me to the side and they say, brother, it was wonderful. We haven't heard the gospel preached here in years. Well, what's been preached? Because you cannot listen to the tapes and the sermons of William Branham. And you cannot say you never heard the gospel. You're hearing it. Should he be teaching? No matter what he's preaching, how many will agree with me? That he preaches the gospel. And they say we're following that. They're not. But the gospel remains the truth. The gospel is the power of God on a salvation to everyone that believes it. Now I know if you're wanting to get people saved, you need to preach the simplicity of the gospel to them. I believe that. But unto us that are saved, unto us that are believers, we need to follow the full word of God.
Right.
The full counsel of God. We need to seek God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to seek God for the power of God. We need the power of God in our lives.
Amen.
We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. I remember in a church in this very town, one evening in a prayer meeting, and they invited me to it. And the Spirit of God began to move, and I began to pray in tongues, and they started to walk out. Now, how could I fellowship with that? I remember that God gave me a clear dream. And he showed me a preacher this time with a collar on him. And he said, he will ask you 3 questions today. And the Lord gave me the answer to the 3 questions in the dream. One of them will be in the Godhead, because he believed the Trinity. The other will be in women preaching. And you know what the third one was? Saved and lost. He believed if you backslid, you'd go to hell. And you'd have to get saved twice. And I used to preach up in Erzurum all over this country. You know that's the truth. What was I to do? Was I to say, brother, precious brother, and he might have been, I will bow down to your organization and accept your Trinity and accept you can be saved and lost and accept false teaching? No. He said to me, brother, this would separate us. If you didn't agree with me, I says then we're separated.
Amen.
Simple. Because I do not believe God can save you today and lost you tomorrow.
Right.
And I do not believe in a Trinity of gods. What was formed in 325 of the Nicene Council, when they conquered the land and Judaized. And you know, even in the Bible, they forbid the early disciples to continue preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And they bit them. God has brought me out of the Roman system. I'm not going back into it. And there's good people everywhere. I believe that. But there's also people everywhere deceived.
Amen.
And they fall in. False dogmas. Everywhere.
Amen.
And don't point at the one because you're not belong to those others pointing back.
Amen.
William Branham told Perry Green, He says, but there are many interpretations of the message there now is. And he says, you're another one. Now that's Perry Green's own words. How many will there be the day we come back? A fellow said to me the other day, I was working with a fellow the other day. He said to me, I'd rather be a Catholic. I said, would you? He said, I'd rather be a Catholic because they're all one. I said, what about the priests and the stuff they're doing? What about that? Oh, but they're all one. He said, I believe if you do good and do nobody any harm. But Jesus says here they're workers of iniquity. And he says they can't enter in. And you know there's another scripture of a man that got in and the Lord said, how did he get in here? Not having a wedding garment on. Move them out of here. There's people today, they think they're going to heaven by works. There's other people today, and they're proselyting. They're not following Jesus, they're following organizations. It's everywhere worldwide. But I'm telling you, there is a truth in the middle. Jesus Christ is that truth. And His Word, this book's the truth. This book's the truth. And this book says if you believe in the Lord you're saved, and it says if you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ,
amen,
you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I believe this book. Do you believe it?
Amen.
God wants us to follow the truth. Don't be way led. Say, brother, I'm splitting away because of the false. What will you split into? We had a wonderful service last night. But you know there's people there saved for years. And there's some simple things they would never agree with or understand. They can't see it because of how they've been taught. You know William Branham said the preachers are guilty. Said the preachers are guilty. Could you imagine standing on the day of judgment? And you have to stand before God. William Branham says, I will stand with my group. Paul said he'd stand with his group. You say, I don't believe that, that any of these male groups. All right then, stand by yourself. That's fine. But all of us will stand. And I know we're not judged under condemnation because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But we give an account for things. And we have to give an account of what we've done with the Word of God. Oh, but brother so-and-so, he won't ask you that. He'll say, what did you do with the Word of God? You knew the Word of God. You heard the Word of God preached. The pastor preached it. Did you believe it? Did the pastor himself believe it? Did the pastor preach the gospel? Did you get behind what God was doing? Did you get 100% behind it? What God was doing. Because everyone's not sent. Many are called, few are chosen. You cannot do God a service without it being the will of God. You have to know God sends you. I believe there's men in here, outside of myself, that God's called. I believe that. I believe God's called others here. But we need to get behind God's work. God doesn't want us to delay or sidetrack. He wants us to follow the Lord with all of our heart. With all of our mind. Let's come and stand this morning and pray. I kind of want you to think of this seriously this morning. Look at the deception in the world today. What about two great men that stood up? And they said, we can't say like Peter and John, silver and gold have we none, with the $1 million properties. Because one man was brought under investigation because people wrote him letters to pray for them, and he never prayed for one single letter, not one. But it was wrote back from somebody else claiming that this man prayed for him, and he never prayed for one of them. And people still get healed. Do you know why? Because God honored them people's faith. And I tell you, there's ravening wolves slipping about today in sheep's clothing. Ravening wolves. They're out to fleece the flock. Not clothe it, but fleece it. God has given us the truth.
Amen.
The truth, God's word's the truth. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You would say, brother, remember me in prayer today. I want you to lift your hand up before God. God bless you. With every head bowed.